Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Throughout her life, Beverly Warren has had many people take her under their wings, and she has done the same for many others. From an early age, she knew that she wanted a career in healthcare. A high school aptitude test showed that she was on the right track. One of Warren's greatest mentors is Sister Benedict, whose teachings at St. John's McNamara reinforced the care and respect for people that she learned as a child. Black Hills State University is honoring the rich Native American history and culture by hosting the annual American Indian Awareness Week on campus. That's through Friday. This year's theme is American Indian Women, the Backbone to Building Resilient Leaders. Beverly Warren is scheduled to speak Thursday at 12:30 Mountain Time in Jonas 107 when she presents the talk, The Life Lessons of a Lakota Nurse. And she is with us now in the Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio in SDPB's Rapid City Studio. Sorry, Bev, welcome. Thanks for being here so much.
Thank you.
I want to go back a little bit before we talk about nursing and sort of how you got into that world, because there are values that you took with you that you really have spent a lifetime really talking to people about. And I don't know that many people spend a lifetime talking about core values in quite the same way. Tell me a little bit about growing up and some of those early memories and how those values were presented to you as a young child.
Yes, I was born in Pine Ridge, and we lived way out in the rural area in the Manderson District with maternal grandparents. And this is where I remember learning the values of the Lakota people, and the way it was taught was my maternal grandfather would drum and sing at dawn and at dusk. And he would do, of course, he would sing the morning and evening prayers. And then he would follow it by a story, which was the value embedded into the story, for instance, generosity or wisdom, courage, fortitude, honor, respect, and humility. So those are the seven values that were embedded into my brain and myself as a child growing up through my formative years. And not only did he sing about the stories, the telling the stories, which embedded one of those values, but the adults around us modeled the behaviors of those values. And so when you grow up like that for the first 7 years of your life, that's the foundation of who you are.
And Lakota is your first language. So all this is happening, all these stories are happening in Lakota.
Yes.
What year were you born, Bev?
1939.
So much has changed since then that you have been able to watch change, but those values haven't changed. What does your morning look like today? What does dusk look like today for you? How are the ways that you sort of, you know, not only live the values, but are there rituals throughout your day that include story, that include prayer?
It's mainly prayer, of course. I'm a grandmother, but my grandchildren are not here in Rapid City. They're in other states. And I do have grandchildren with through my sister's children. And we do have our little conversations, but they don't live with us. So my sister and I, so I don't have that opportunity to do that with my own grandchildren. And so my day begins and it ends with prayer, just as I learned when I was a child, to always acknowledge the Creator the best way you knew how. And in this way, you keep your humility, because you don't take credit for what you do or think or accomplish. It's truly not you, but all the people who've had an influence on you, including, of course, the main one, the Creator, has given you some gifts to share.
Tell us how you became a nurse, specifically, you know, Sister Benedict and some of the original, the early days when you walked into this profession and some of those early memories, please.
During high school, I worked in a restaurant, Arts Cafe, and was owned and operated by a German family who had immigrated here to this country. And they were a very wonderful family who took me under their wing, and they did become my mentors. The main mentor was Elizabeth Kiesling. She was a nurse, and she was married to Art Kiesling. And I remember being in the kitchen washing dishes. That was my job. And she would walk in white, this crisp white uniform and white shoes, white stockings. Back then, that's how we dressed. And she always was so perfectly groomed. And I would look at her and I thought, my goodness, I would love to be that someday. So she was my role model just in appearance in the beginning. And then as she and I got to know each other, I learned more from her as well, because she had gone through nursing school and was working in Rapid as a nurse. So she was my very first nurse mentor, and then the second one was Sister Benedict at the St. John's Hospital. She was my supervisor. I had taken an aptitude class test at Rapid City High School, and that test indicated that healthcare was, and specifically nursing, was what I wanted or was evidently what I had aptitude for. And so part of that class was to teach us how to interview, write your resume, and present yourself to a potential employer. And that's how I met Sister Benedict.
Tell us about St. John's.
St. John's McNamara Hospital is still a building. It's utilized for apartments now, and it's on 11th Street. And the nursing school at that time was right next door with our own dormitory and classrooms. And so if you were admitted to their program, then you were expected to live there and to study there.
It's all women at this point?
Yes.
Yes. Are you the only Lakota woman, or are there others?
Well, and I had an upperclassman that I knew of, that she had just graduated when I came in. Her name was Lucille. And then during the time I was in the school, there was another Native woman, Linda Claymore. So there were three of us that I was aware of.
Tell me what the daily, you know, when you're living in the dorms, and are you wearing uniforms, you know, during school? Tell us a little bit about what that looked like back then.
Of course, our clinical experience, we did wear our uniforms. And there was a laundry right next door to the hospital that the sisters who worked there did our laundry, our uniforms. And they were very, very heavily starched. And so we could actually stand them up in the corner. when we were in emergency room, for instance, Sister Winifred was the director or the supervisor of the emergency department. And she knew what student was assigned to the emergency room. And so if a case came in at all hours of the night, she would come over to the dormitory. And for instance, if it was me, she'd say, "Miss Stabber to the ER." And of course, we didn't argue. Right. We were very obedient. And in those days, you didn't question authority. And so the nuns were extremely good teachers. They were disciplinarians, but they were also very kind to us.
I'm wondering, when you mentioned, Elizabeth's white uniform and sort of the impeccable grooming, was that something that Elizabeth brought to life, or was that something that was expected of all nurses and, you were held to that standard in the school?
In terms of appearance?
Yes, in terms of the sort of delicate, details of grooming. Was that her personal, her personal way of being in the world, or was that the expectation for nursing?
It was at that time the expectation. And part of it, too, was that she had attended St. John's School of Nursing. And, for instance, on a typical day, we were expected to go to breakfast. They didn't allow us to skip breakfast. They took head count or roll call. And they actually watched us eat. And so of course, that was fine with us. And we all went to the cafeteria to eat. And then when we were finished, of course, we had our time frame. And then we would get in the single file and go to the chapel. And in the chapel, we had morning prayers, which was very similar to the way I grew up. So that, to me, was a normal thing. And so we would say our morning prayers and then file to the hallway. And in the hallway would be standing Sister Mary Alcuin, who was the director of the school. And she would, you had to stand in front of her for a minute and turn around like a model would. And she inspected how you looked. Yeah. Our caps had to be absolutely straight. Our hair couldn't touch our neckline. Our uniforms had to be spotless, as well as our shoes, and our socks had to be perfect. So she would have us turn around, and she didn't say a word. If she nodded toward the right, that meant go to clinical. If she nodded to the left, it said go to the dorm and fix yourself. So those of us who had to go to the dorm would say, okay, tell me what's wrong, because we thought we were perfectly groomed, but evidently from her standards, we weren't. So when you do that for 3 years, well, it becomes who you are.
Right. You stayed in nursing, for a career and practiced nursing in so many different circumstances and facilities and situations, really. If you could go back and talk to that girl in school, what would you tell her about nursing that would have been useful for her?
Back in my day?
Yeah.
Gosh. I would say don't let yourself get bored or feel like you're in a rut, because there are so many areas in nursing that you can go into. So I guess the message there would be, don't be afraid of change.
Hmm. Talk to me a little bit about, as you look back and you see, everything from the elders in your life to teachers that you've had, friends that you've had, how do you use that to help other young people figure out how to navigate a life and a career today in 2019?
As you know, I still work at SDSU College of Nursing here in town in Rapid, and my job is to recruit and support Native student nurses through graduation and licensure. So a huge part of my talk and my meeting with students as a mentor is that. And I have accumulated throughout my year, I've been a nurse 56 years, and have worked all those years except for maybe two when I had children. And so I've accumulated knowledge and awareness and the importance of prioritizing. And I've learned from so many people, not just teachers and supervisors, but peers. And so I feel like with all those years of having learned and being able to teach current students is an honor to be doing that, because I think that a nurse has to have a certain viewpoint on life to be what you should be as a caring person.
Tell me a little bit about what that viewpoint is. Is it best shown through your actions, or can you speak about it in a way that's useful for students today?
I think empathy is important. Never forget the value of trying to put yourself in someone's place who's in pain, or physical pain, or emotional pain, or mental pain, spiritual pain, and hone your observational skills and listen more than you talk, and act according to the culture of that individual. So that means you have to be very aware of different people. And when I say culture, I don't mean just ethnicity. It's the culture of the disabled, the culture of religions, and learning how to respect everyone in whatever they believe in, because it is their life. And so there's so many parts of being a nurse that's talking, and of course a huge part of it is action, which you need to have the skills to do what you need to do in a gentle way, and always teaching your patients before you do something, let them know what you're going to do, and let them know that they can tell you if they're uncomfortable or fearful.
It's a master's class right there in that succinct minute or so. Do you still see the people that you went to school with at St. John's? Tell us a little bit about the relationships that you formed and how you continue those relationships today.
Yes, we call ourselves the sisters in more ways than one. We sometimes think about and talk about our teachers who were nuns, and Sister Alcuin, Sister Benedict, all of them were such good role models in terms of how a nurse should be. And so we took that knowledge and the skills that they taught us, not just knowledge and skill, but the attitude of what a nurse should be. And we acknowledge that we were fortunate to be educated by them and to be influenced by them. And we have, there were 19 of us who graduated. We've lost two. And the rest of us get together every 2 years for a reunion. And now we've decided to do it every year since we're getting older. And I just had a birthday party on Saturday, my 80th birthday. It's not on my birth date, but yeah. my children were here, so we were able to get together. And six of my classmates from 1962 were there. It was very special.
Oh. Well, happy birthday, whenever the actual day is, and this whole year. As you look into your 80th year and the years that you have ahead, because they could be many, how do you approach 80 and say, what's next for me?
I enjoy so much what I do today in terms of working with students and all students, but specifically the Native students who I mentor, and hope that I can continue to be of value to teach how to be a nurse and be that sounding board, so to speak, when they come and talk to me about various personal and professional issues that are confidential. And they need someone like that to listen and understand, and not knowing that it remains within that room. And so that is valuable for the young people of today and everyone, actually.
Those stories, if I could take you back to the beginning before I let you go for today, that you were hearing, you know, at dawn or at dusk, or, you know, from your paternal grandfather, the stories about generosity or wisdom or courage or honor or fortitude or respect or humility, are those stories still, do they adapt and change over time? Are they the same stories that are told and that are passed down, or is it always, I mean, could you find that story in the story of a nurse and a patient and a family in any given day? Do you see what I'm kind of asking there about story and how it relates to values?
I think that most people do grow up in that way of listening to grandparents or aunts or uncles or parents or older siblings or younger siblings. I think we all take lessons from our immediate family in some manner. Mine just happened to be back in the early 40s, being isolated on the reservation. So it was a very different way of living off the land. And those stories still resonate with me when I think about the coming day, for instance. Of course, it's different because culture is dynamic. It's not static. It changes. But you can keep your core values and alter them in whatever way works for today.
Bev Warren, I want to say thank you so much, and you are welcome back anytime. I look forward to the next time I can sit down with you in person as well. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.